Radio Prague News.
Czech President Miloš Zeman has arrived in China for events commemorating the end of World War II. A prominent Liberec politician has been expelled from the Christian Democratic Party. And it appears that former Czech footballer Pavel Nedved will receive a state honor this year. Czech President Miloš Zeman has arrived in China. He's due to take part in events commemorating the 70th anniversary of the end of World War II in Asia. On Thursday, he will attend a huge military parade in the center of Beijing. His visit will also include talks with the Chinese president as well as the Russian leader Vladimir Putin. Mr. Zeman is the only European head of state or government taking part in the Chinese war commemorations. The Liberec branch of the Christian Democratic Party has expelled prominent local politician Daniel Kalenda from its ranks in response to a recent post he made on Facebook. In it, he referred to the recent tragedy in Austria where 71 refugees were found dead in an abandoned transport truck. In his post, he called the migrants dirt that did not belong in Europe. He added that they also should have known better than to get into an enclosed van. Hours later, he deleted the entry, saying he had been drinking. 18 of 19 members of the committee on Monday voted for Kalenda's expulsion. The head of the committee, Kamil Jan Soboda, expressed shock over the words he had used, calling them unheard of. Jiří Loda, World War II veteran and one of the country's top heraldists, has died at the age of 94. Mr. Loda designed around 200 town and municipality coat of arms, as well as the large state emblem of the Czech Republic, based on heraldic symbols going back centuries. In World War II, Mr. Loda made his way to Great Britain, where he signed up as a paratrooper. He was later imprisoned by the communist regime in Czechoslovakia and released in 1950. Former footballer Pavel Nedved, a runner-up at Euro 96 and player who made his name with Italian clubs Lazio and Juventus Turin, appears likely to be honored by the Czech state. Nedved, nicknamed Furia Ceca by Italian fans, flew to China with Czech President Zeman on Tuesday. The Czech news agency reported that Mr. Zeman told the former player to leave October the 28th open. That day is when the nation's highest honors are awarded. Nedved, who was European Footballer of the Year in 2003, has been routinely nominated for state honors by the Czech Senate. In other news, almost three-fifths of Czechs are reportedly unhappy with the way the Czech government has so far handled the migrant crisis, at least this according to a new poll by Focus. According to the survey, 87% said that refugees in the Czech Republic were a major problem, while 93% were in favor of refugees being sent back to their home countries. The migrant wave and government response is seen as most problematic, the poll suggests, by Czechs with high school educations, as well as small business owners, but also top managers, residents of smaller and medium-sized towns, pensioners, and seniors. More than 1,000 people over the age of 18 took part in the poll in the second half of August. I'm Jan Wellinger. You'll find more news at radio.cz.
You are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Ruth Franková. Coming up in today's program, the Czech Republic has promised to provide financial aid to Serbia to help it deal with a wave of refugees. Uranium slag heaps are creating uproar in the Czech Republic. And later in the program, we look at Czech-Chinese business prospects. That's in a fresh edition of Marketplace. All that coming up, so please stay with us. The Czech Republic has promised to provide financial aid to Serbia to help it deal with a wave of refugees passing through the country on their way into Hungary and the EU. Speaking in Belgrade, the Czech Interior Minister also said he was considering a plan under which asylum seekers would be allowed to travel through Czech territory to Germany rather than being returned to Hungary. Ian Willoughby has more.
Serbia has been one of the countries most affected in recent months by Europe's worst refugee crisis since World War II. The Balkan state lies on one of the main routes by which migrants are entering the European Union. Around 65,000 potential asylum seekers have crossed its borders into EU member Hungary since the start of the year, and there are an estimated 8,000 on its territory at present. On a visit to the Balkan state, the Czech Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka on Tuesday told his counterpart Aleksandar Vučić that Prague would provide Serbia with some 10 million crowns in aid to help it deal with the unprecedented situation. Also in the Czech delegation, making a two-day visit to Belgrade, has been the country's Minister of the Interior, Milan Chovanec.
We're
ready to help financially, technically, and in terms of materials and experts, whatever is needed. We are interested in the views of people who are on the spot. If they ask us for assistance that's acceptable to us, we'll simply send it. Speaking in Belgrade to a reporter from the Czech daily Mladá fronta dnes, Mr. Chovanec also discussed what would be a major change in Czech policy toward refugees. Hours after Czech police detained a record 200 migrants in the border town of Břeclav, the minister said that Prague had been in discussions with officials from Germany after it opened its doors unconditionally to Syrian refugees. Berlin has thus suspended its adherence to the Dublin regulation, under which asylum seekers must be returned to the state where they entered the EU. Mr. Chovanec said one option on the table was the creation of a railway corridor via which Syrians could legally travel straight through Czech territory on their way to Germany. The minister said Berlin had not yet confirmed its position on this possibility, but that Prague was looking into how such a simplified procedure could ease the Syrian situation. Germany, which this year is expecting to process 800,000 or more asylum requests, is again pushing for a quota system under which other EU members would take in set numbers of migrants. Mr. Chovanec said this remains unacceptable to the Czech government. Prime Minister Sobotka is due to meet on Friday with his Hungarian, Polish and Slovak counterparts to discuss a common position toward pressure from Berlin and Brussels on the quotas issue.
Ian Willoughby with that report. Slag heaps of broken rocks and stone are the clearest legacy of the uranium mining boom in the Czech Republic, but one company's plans to get rid of some of the unsightly waste has sparked a heated argument about what to do with them. Chris Johnston has the story.
Massive slag heaps, dozens of metres high, are the most visible remnants of the uranium mining boom around the central Bohemian town of Příbram. The last of the uranium mines closed a quarter of a century ago, but most of the around 20 slag heaps have remained as they were, as scars on the landscape. The heaps are made up of stones excavated during mining, and they contain a small fraction of uranium ore. That's one of the main reasons why a proposal from a local company to take away the rock waste at the biggest slag heap in the area, instead of being applauded by local councils, has stirred up an angry reaction. The company, EcoTotalBau, has set its sights on the slag heap at the former Mine 15. It's a 60-metre-high monster slag heap, totalling around 13 million tonnes of material. The company would like to take the stone, sort it, and use the material for construction work, such as road building. Some of the stones with a high uranium content could be handed over to the state uranium processing company Diamo. Even with planned excavation around 20 years, the height of the slag heap would only be halved. EcoTotalBau says taking the construction material would be a lot less environmentally damaging than opening a new quarry. And it's tried to calm fears that the dust caused by its processing would amount to a radioactive health hazard for locals. In the long term, it argues that removing the waste reduces the amount of ambient radiation in the locality. Petr Vana is one of the locals opposed to EcoTotalBau's plans and highlights the risk from radioactive radon.
There will be a lot of dust in the atmosphere and there will be a lot of noise. Also, the district has the major handicap that when it's foggy, everything is pushed down, including the radon.
The issue has also been taken up by Příbram Mayor Jindřich Vareka. who met with Environment Minister Richard Brabets on Tuesday. The ministry must rule on Ecole Totale Bau's slag heap application, and it's not the first such application of its type that's been presented. Minister Brabets says it's not really an option to leave the massive slag heaps as they are. The main question is to decide what's the best option and technology for dealing with them. And state company DEMO, which has come out against the latest slag heap application, could find a role for itself. Meanwhile, the mayor of Prebram is organising what promises to be a stormy public meeting on September the 16th.
Chris Johnston with that report. Just a reminder that you are listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech Radio. Coming up next, China, in the words of Napoleon, was a sleeping giant. But as the recent stock exchange crisis showed, the world's second biggest economy can now make everyone wake up and take notice when it looks a bit off colour. The Czech Republic has recently changed its policy towards China and is both looking to boost exports to the massive market and win Chinese investment. Chris Johnston has more in this edition of Marketplace.
On Tuesday, President Miloš Zeman flew out to Beijing for his second visit to the Chinese capital in less than a year. Although the official event is celebrations of the end of World War II in Asia, it's also clearly a flag-waving exercise, with Mr. Zeman seeing himself as his country's highest-powered and best economic ambassador. At the start of the week, President Zeman also hosted the official ceremony for the Czech launch of one of China's biggest international banks, Bank of China. Last week, though, Czech company Kohinoor announced it was closing its Chinese plant after 11 years because of sharply rising wages in the country and problems getting the quality it needed for European markets. It is one of the few Czech companies that have invested there. On the other hand, the country's biggest car maker, Škoda Auto, is pushing ahead with plans to boost production at its three plants in China. China is Škoda's single biggest market, with around a quarter of its total worldwide sales. Czech investments groups like J&T and PPF also look like they're positioning themselves as channels for two-way Czech-Chinese investment projects. So where do Chinese-Czech trade relations stand at the moment? Like most of the rest of Europe, the Czech Republic runs a massive trade deficit with China. In 2014, the Czech deficit was almost 11.5 billion euros, and the trade gap appears to be expanding. While the Czech Republic boosted exports to China by just over 20% in the first quarter of this year, Chinese exports to the Czech Republic rose by more than a third. And while China is the second biggest exporter of goods to the Czech Republic, China at the moment is only the 18th most important customer for Czech goods. Trade in services between the two countries are at a relatively low level. The recent stock exchange turmoil coming out of China underlined the message that while the Czech Republic might not stand first in line to suffer from slower growth and economic turbulence there, it is at risk from the indirect impact of any trade downturn, especially between China and Germany. The Czech Republic would surely feel the damage that could be done to Europe's economic powerhouse and its biggest trading partner. Jan Boresh is the head economist at Era Bank. He says the recent Chinese and world stock exchange wobble is likely to be one of many tremors as China faces up to slower growth and a transformation of its past export-led economic growth model.
For now, it looks the stock market has stabilized, but overall, I think the structural problems of the Chinese economy are still in place, and China is going to face ongoing slowdown in economic growth, and it can have problems managing the economy, not getting into too sharp downward spiral. For now, at least, the markets looks stabilized, but looking ahead, one cannot be sure about the Chinese growth dynamics for the upcoming quarters.
A slip in growth by 1 or 2 percentage points below China's expected 7% growth for this year might not have any dramatic consequences, But a bigger slowdown could cause a bigger shock, with the global economy still looking uncertain. And the Bank of China's opening of its Czech office in Prague, will that be a catalyst for stronger economic ties between the two countries, regardless of the recent economic tremors? Helena Horská is head of economic search at Raiffeisen Bank's Czech operations.
I think it's very interesting that the Bank of China is opening the subsidiary here in Czech Republic, since the Bank of China has a subsidiary already in Hungary and Poland. And I think it's exactly because of the attractiveness of the Czech Republic as a very good infrastructure and a very close connection with the German market, with other Eurozone markets. And I think that the Bank of China sees the big opportunities here on the market. And I expect that this is exactly the first sign of more deep cooperation on the economic field between the Czech Republic and the China. I think this is like the first sign, and maybe in the future we will see some other Chinese companies to come into Czech Republic, and the Bank of China will open the door to them.
Bank of China will actually not be up and running at its Prague office until the end of the year, and its expected staff of around 20 will not give it an opportunity to make a really big impact from the start. Traditionally, cash-rich China has favoured big infrastructure projects and assets for its foreign investments, and Helena Horská believes that mindset could hold good for the Czech Republic as well.
I would expect the strong activity of Chinese company, especially in the sectors where you need a huge amount of capital, because the Chinese companies are very well supported by capital and investment sources. And as was the case in South Europe, we can see that the Chinese companies invest very much into traffic infrastructure and other very high-demanded capital sector. And I would expect this also in the Czech Republic. I think that the Chinese company would be more interested into own companies, not joint venture. They can use the know-how that it's generally shared by our very well-educated people and labor force.
Jan Buric, though, is a bit more cautious about how much Chinese investment and business the Czech Republic might eventually land.
I strongly believe we are going to be exposed mostly to the Western European countries. Our model of economic growth is still about exporting mainly to Western European countries, and I think that's going to stay in place in the upcoming years as emerging markets, and China especially, are slowing down. And on the other hand, the consumption in the Western Europe finally is starting to recover. So in the short term, I believe we are going to stay more or less the same economy in terms of regional exposure as we were during the past 5-6 years.
And Buresh is also downbeat on the incoming Chinese investment that the Czech Republic could be looking forward to.
I personally don't believe now in a huge inflow of Chinese investment here. There are not so much investment opportunities for large-scale projects here in the Czech Republic that maybe the Chinese are looking for. I believe rather in a smaller FDI inflow for now.
Some economists point out a fairly fundamental fact. The Czech Republic has been able to win a lot of South Korean investment in the last few years because Czech industrial wages are half or even a third lower than those in South Korea. In spite of Chinese wages having doubled in the last 5 years, Chinese labour costs are still comparatively cheap. So it makes little sense for the Chinese to invest in labour-intensive production when this is still cheaper at home. On the other hand, investment in infrastructure like roads, rail and utilities look like they could give guaranteed returns in Europe over the longer term.
And that edition of Marketplace by Chris Johnston brings us to the end of our English language broadcast. If you have any comments about today's program, then please send them to us. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz or on Facebook and Twitter. We'll be glad to hear from you. That's all for now from me, Ruth Franjková. Thank you very much for joining us and goodbye.